today's gospel passage includes a parable that is usually called the parable of the Good Samaritan. Certainly one of the best known of Jesus' parables, probably one of the best known stories in the Bible, even for folks whose Bible literacy is limited. And you probably know the general scope of the story, even if you can't maybe remember all of the details. Even if you aren't up on the cultural and religious context that has to do with the relationship between Jews and Samaritans, or the specific symbolism of the priest or the Levite. All of that aside, it's really a pretty simple story. And in essence, I have a one-sentence sermon, although I'll manage to string it out a little bit longer. If you have to ask who your neighbor is, you haven't been listening to Jesus. If you have to ask who your neighbor is, you haven't been listening to Jesus. And interestingly, although that is the question, the second question that the lawyer asks, Jesus doesn't really answer that question, does he? The parable just illustrates what it means to be a neighbor. It illustrates what neighbors do. Show mercy. That's it, really. That's the point. Show mercy. Love everybody. Show compassion for all those whom you encounter. If you need assistance figuring out who it is okay to ignore when they are in need, you haven't been listening to Jesus. We all pretty much know that, I think. Even without the parable of the Good Samaritan. And yet still it is hard. It is often hard to do what we know we ought to do. In this morning's collect, we pray for help doing what we know we ought to do. In the epistle, the writer of the letter to the Colossians says, "Oh, I hope, oh, I pray that you will be able to live lives worthy of the Lord," knowing that it's not automatic. In Romans, Paul writes. Paul, who sometimes gives the impression he doesn't think he can ever do anything wrong, Paul writes, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Paul, and over the centuries, the church have called this unavoidable quality of human nature, this unavoidable quality that we cannot always do what we know we want to do or what we ought to do, we've called it sin. And yet we also have, across the centuries, the assurance and the experience of God's forgiveness and reconciliation. Our recurring failure to not do what we want is not the end of the story. And that's something to hang on to, but it's not actually my main point today. Thinking about our failure, at least from time to time, to help those in need whom we encounter along the side of the road, bearing that in mind, I want to share with you also some words of Martin Luther King, who gives us another perspective on this parable and what it means to be a neighbor. Through the roundabout connections of the internet this week, I came across notes that are in some compilation of King's works. Notes on a sermon that he preached at some point on the parable of the Good Samaritan. He entitled his reflections, "The One-Sided Approach of the Good Samaritan." And King sought, to broaden our perspective on the message of this parable and on our role as Christians. He talked about the shortcomings of the parable in describing what we might call the fullness of true neighborliness. He says the parable says nothing about where the Levite or the priest might have been going, what business they were about. It is probable that the Levite was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho to make a survey of crime in the vicinity. And perhaps the priest was en route up to Jerusalem to serve on the National Committee for the Improvement of Public Highways. He's joking, and I imagine that King expected a chuckle. But he's serious as well. Both of those tasks are worthwhile tasks. So King continues, by a slight stretch of the imagination, or at least for argument's sake, a quite excellent case can be made for the priest and the Levite and the work they were doing. Before we condemn them completely, we should consider this. King goes on to say that it is absolutely incumbent upon Christians to respond directly to human need whenever and however we can. To bandage, to feed, to care for those in need. We are to play the Good Samaritan as we are able. But King's point is that is only part. That is only one part, a portion, of the picture of our Christian social responsibility. That is only one piece of neighborliness. He concludes, there is another aspect of Christian social responsibility which is just as compelling. It works within the social system. It seeks to tear down unjust conditions and build anew instead of just patching things up. It seeks, in the world of the parable, to clear the Jericho road of its robbers, as well as caring for the victims of robbery. There are other ways. There are many ways to be a neighbor who shows mercy. Not just in the bandaging or in the sustaining of those who are in need, as important as that is, but also in the work that is done to change the systems that led to the problem in the first place. Systemic change that seeks to improve justice and the lives of others. To work actively in whatever way we are able to support and participate in actions or organizations that seek to reduce poverty or violence, to promote justice and opportunity for all people. As King says, to clear the Jericho road of his robbers in the first place. You or I may not have the opportunity to bandage wounds, literally, by the side of the road. And because of our own sin, we may not always do it even when we do have the opportunity, and we should worry about that. But remember also that there are other things we can do. There are other ways to be neighbors. There are other ways to show mercy, to act with compassion to all of those whom we encounter in our lives. There are many things that we can do. We must do something.